Welcome to the Covenanting Podcast. You are about to attend a Windblown Tradition Witches Coven Ritual. Windblown was founded in New York State in the 1980s. Two of the original four founding members are still alive. I am one of them. You may call me Lady Sitara. All of the founding members of Windblown had prior coven training in at least one established Wiccan or witch tradition. Each member had training that was different from the other three. We needed to create ritual and lessons that were uniquely ours. I contributed a bunch of it. I am grateful for the gift of the gods provided so that I can share. Let's begin. In Windblown, a coven is composed of three or more adults who meet together in person regularly for ritual and or lessons. Between 6 to 16 is an ideal number of participants. You have arrived at the appointed time. You have your robe, cord, athame, and maybe chalice with you. Maybe you have brought as an offering to the group a jar of honey, a bouquet of flowers, or a couple of candles, or some incense. You already know that movement within the circle is clockwise, jeshel, unless intentionally done counterclockwise, vidershins. Nothing is brought into the circle that has not been ritually purified. So you remove your clothing and any non-purified jewelry and you don your robe. You are permitted to wear any medically or hygienically necessary items, which will be purified along with your body as you enter the circle. That includes glasses, hearing aids, menstrual products and panties when needed, or similar items. If today is your first circle with this group, we may loan you a robe or permit you to wear all or some of your street clothes within circle. If you have brought jewelry or ritual tools that have not been previously purified in our circle, they should be handed to the ritual leader so that they can be blessed during the circle. The Sabbat cake was baked in advance and brought by one of the coveners, who will be graduating soon. While you are getting ready, the ritual leaders, the high priest and or high priestess and or assistants, are preparing the sacred space. The sacred space is outdoors whenever weather and opportunity permit, and indoors when it does not. They have arranged the central altar with representations of the divine. Those might be statues, but there are other possibilities. And tools of each of the four elements: salt, pentacle, incense, bell, athame, candles, wand, water, wine goblet. There may also be a seasonal or lunar token, a flowering branch in the spring or a quartz crystal at a full moon. Whatever tools or jewelry that were brought by the coveners for blessing should be under or near the central altar, as well as a bowl for libations, unless you are outside where the libation can be poured directly into the ground. The ritual leaders light the incense and tread the circle. They remove any obstacles or furniture that might interfere with ritual activities and focus. They might use a broom or their own athame to clear the energy in the space. They check to see if the quarter candles are in place, either on the quarter altars or hanging in wall sconces or on the floor or ground just beyond the perimeter of the circle. Is there sufficient wax in the candles? Wine? Incense? Sabbat cake? Any other necessary supplies? Are they already in the circle? Some groups use one chalice per person. If that is the tradition here, then those chalices are already inside the ritual space. Once the ritual has begun, we like to avoid interruptions. Maintaining focus requires preparation. Wine has been poured into the chalice. The salt is in the salt bowl. The water is in the water bowl, and the incense is lit. There is additional incense nearby for when what is burning has been completely consumed. A typical Espot runs more than 1 hour and less than two, from the time you enter the circle space until the circle is dispersed. Today, on this podcast, I will just be presenting the opening and closing in detail. I hope that that takes about half an hour. The circle space has been prepared, and so are the participants. From now until the end of the ritual, you will leave your given name behind, and you will use and be addressed by your magical name. Come to the entrance with your hood covering your head, or a scarf or a shawl covering your head if your robe is not equipped with a hood. Your cord is around your waist, your athami is sheathed. You are greeted by one of the circle elders. You may be smudged and or kissed and or anointed for purification so you can enter the circle. The elder will greet you by your magical name. The circle is dark. You arrive in darkness. You smell the incense and travel clockwise around the perimeter of the circle to make way for the others who will enter. You take a quick look around to get your bearings. The center altar is oriented so that the leader who mixes the salt and water faces north while doing so, but it is dark. The color of the quarter candles may also help if you can see them. Green in the north, yellow in the east, red in the south, blue in the west. Not a hard and fast rule, but usually. You stand relaxed but poised, your feet shoulder distance apart, your toes forward, your knees slightly bent, your shoulders dropped, your pelvis tucked, your spine straight. When you have all gathered, you hold hands, left hand palm up, right hand palm down, and the ritual leaders lead you in a continuous om until hands are squeezed. Then there is a moment of silence, and out of the silence, the high priest's voice booms. Blessed be the darkness, the vast expansion, the all-encompassing, all-surrounding womb of space. The high priestess is standing on the south side of the altar. She lights a candle and elevates it. Her voice rings. Blessed be the light. All coveners remove their hoods. The high priestess continues. The penetrating point, the all-focusing, all-aligning core of creation. The high priestess returns the candle to the altar. She raises her athami. Blessed be the blade. She makes cutting motions between the candle and the surrounding darkness that divides the darkness from the light, thus generating duality. She lifts her blade high, and from duality is all substance formed. She brings the athami down, plunging the tip into the vessel of water. The substance of water, the flow, cleansing and purifying, begone all uncleanliness. She lifts the athami up and brings the tip down into the vessel of salt, the substance of earth, preserving, purging impurities, begone all impurities and keep away. She uses the athami to scoop some of the salt into the water and mixes them together. In the joining of the elements, there is great magic. In the joining of the elements, there is life. Another candle or two are lit on the altar. The high priestess moves to the northern perimeter of the circle. And holding the blade out, she treads the perimeter clockwise. By the blade that separates the darkness from the light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I conjure this circle as a sacred place, shifting the confines of time and space. Behind her, some of the other coveners follow, each carrying and dispensing an elemental token around the circle perimeter, the censer with some incense, the vessel of water and an asperger, a lit candle, the vessel of salt. An island apart and a fortress between, yesterday's sorrow and tomorrow's dream. After the circle has been thrice tread, the participants return the items to the altar and return to their places in the circle. The high priest lifts the chalice of wine and simultaneously blessing the chalice, the wine, and the circle itself. Blessed be the vessel wherein the divided may unite. That concludes the blessing of the darkness and the light and the casting of the circle. The blessing of the darkness and the light is a distinguishing feature of windblown traditional circles. Next, we call the quarters. But before that, I should mention that there is another dimension to coven ritual that is not obvious to the casual observer. In addition to the words, gestures, and movement within the circle, initiates are taught the mental imagery that accompanies each of the acts, so that within the circle, the initiate participants are all sharing the same mental images of what happens on the astral when the circle is being cast and when the quarters are being called, etc. The people or person calling the quarters have been chosen in advance. Either one person will call all four quarters, or each quarter will have a designated person. The same person who calls the quarter will also dismiss it at the end of the ritual. While the quarters are being evoked or called forth, the rest of the coveners are standing in their place in circle, but they will face each quarter as it is being called. You can find diagrams of the evoking and banishing pentagrams in Israel Regardi's Golden Dawn. In the windblown tradition, we begin in the north with the element of earth. If there are enough people in the circle, an assistant is designated who will light each of the quarter candles in advance of each quarter being called. With fewer people, the person who evokes also lights the candle. If you are calling the quarters, remember to draw nice, big, symmetrical, evoking pentagrams. The assistant lights the northern green earth element quarter candle. At the northern perimeter of the circle, the covener uses their athami to draw the evoking earth pentagram in the air while facing the northern direction. The earth evoking pentagram is drawn beginning with the athami pointing at the top of the pentagram and moving it to the bottom left point. By the northern midnight chill, by the winter's snow-hushed hoof, by the lord and lady's charge, to this circle, enter earth. In the east, the assistant lights the yellow air element quarter candle. At the eastern perimeter, the covener, facing east, uses their athami to draw the evoking air pentagram while reciting the quarter call. The air evoking pentagram is drawn, beginning with the athami pointing towards the south and moving it horizontally towards the north. By the eastern dawning light, by the hatching sprouting spring, by the lord and lady's charge, air, come forth on flying wing. In the south, the assistant lights the red fire element quarter candle. At the southern perimeter, the covenor, facing south, uses their athami to draw the evoking fire pentagram. The fire evoking pentagram is drawn beginning with the athami pointing at the top of the pentagram, moving it to the bottom right point. By the southern noonday bright, by the summer's sweltering heat, by the lord and lady's charge, fire come on burning feet. In the west, the assistant lights the blue water element quarter candle. At the western perimeter, the covenor, facing west, draws the evoking water pentagram. The water evoking pentagram is drawn, beginning with the athami pointing towards the south and moving it horizontally towards the north. By the autumn's dying leaves, by the crescent rising west, by the lord and lady's charge, water flow to our behest. To complete the quarter calling, all coveners turn toward the north and use their athamis to briefly point to, or rather resalute, the north. All the quarter candles are now lit and the quarters have been called. The coveners are standing in the circle, and what happens next depends on the event. Is this a holy day? A quarter day? A cross quarter? A full moon? A dark moon? Something else? Have we gathered to celebrate a rite of passage? Have we gathered to do magic? In the Pacific Northwest, and especially if we are outside, we might begin with an acknowledgement of the land and the people who lived on it before invaders claimed it and parceled it out. Taking a moment to make a spiritual request for justice and harmony, acknowledging the first peoples as our land ancestors and honoring them for their observance of nature, for being harmonious stewards of the plants, trees, animals, fungi, and natural forces in our area. But what are we doing here today, in January of 2025? First, I must thank all of you for being here. Your attendance is exactly what this is all about. I couldn't do it without you and without your insistence and encouragement. We are going to skip the drawing down and the cone of power today. We'll get to them soon in the future episodes. Please settle in. At this point, you may sit either on a chair if those are provided, or the ground or the floor, and enjoy your Sabbath cake and wine while I explain. I'm here because you asked for me. After the last election in the USA, social media erupted with solitary witches wanting to form or join covens. Over the last 20 years, witchcraft, Wicca, and paganism has grown as a religion, but most practitioners are now solitary, having limited or no coven experience. That's where I fit in. In the 1980s and 1990s, I led covens and was part of founding a tradition. I wrote many volumes of instructional material and liturgy, some of which was published in small magazines, but most of it not yet published. When my coven had membership in Covenant of the Goddess, the local council was approached by an interfaith group who wanted to attend a Wiccan circle to see what we do, and the local council leaders turned them away because either they were under oaths of secrecy or the material was somebody else's copyright. I'm not sure what the problem was, but the local council neglected to ask me. Yes, I have formal traditional coven training and initiations all the way up through third degree. But before I was initiated, my high priestess had a dream in which the goddess came to her and told her that I was not supposed to receive the traditional vows of secrecy. So, they were not administered to me. And then I wrote my own liturgy. This puts me in a unique position of being able to share my material with you so that you can make good use of it as you form covens. Maybe you don't have much group experience, or maybe you do have previous group experience but want to do things differently. Or maybe you are Windblown Trad already and want to feel the connection again. Windblown is inclusive. What are the requirements for joining a Windblown coven? 1. Be able and willing to take direction from the leaders. Windblown is a teaching tradition. The people who have the most experience and knowledge become the leaders and share that knowledge with the others to prepare them for becoming leaders. That process takes an average of 4 years, but in exceptional cases, it can be and has been shorter. And when the covenor is not in any rush, it can take longer. Usually, after receiving their third degree, a covenor starts forming their own coven. But again, there are exceptions by mutual agreement. 2. Be willing and able to work in harmony with the existing members of the group. A coven is supposed to approach having the closeness of an ideal family, where members joyfully support each other's progress. If the give and take are uncomfortable or uneven, or if there is strife between members, the coven will not be able to hold together. 3. Be honest about yourself and your intentions. Be honest to yourself and be honest with the leaders and the other members of the group. What is it you want to derive from being a member of the coven? What are your plans to do with the knowledge you receive? 4. Finally, in order to be initiated, you must be at the age of consent. What that means is that you will be swearing an oath. The oath differs from group to group and from tradition to tradition, but what is important is that you must be in an age where you can understand the implications of that oath and agree to it willingly. You must be capable of making a committed agreement as an adult. This list may not cover everything, but I hope it provides the basics for you to start your coven. Covens are usually small and intimate. No one should earn a living by leading a coven, although it is perfectly acceptable to ask for contributions to share expenses. If you are renting a meeting space, certainly that expense should be shared. If you provide refreshments, that expense should be shared. Candles, incense, wine, Sabbath cake. To show your appreciation for the group, if you are not providing cash, a consumable such as honey, incense, candles, a bouquet of flowers, or a seasonal decoration is generally appreciated. Find out what it is your leaders need. That is not to say that the priest or priestesses who amass large groups are doing it wrong. It is generally considered bad form to amass a large group of followers, but it depends on the individual and the intention. I would not call a group of more than 18 people or so a coven. I might call it a congregation. The larger the group, the more social influence of the leaders. And the more social influence a leader has, the better they need to be at policing their own personal morals and protecting the personhood and consent of all individuals within the group, at least during group activities. Keeping covens a small size ensures lots of individual attention from the leaders to the members and facilitates members getting to know each other better. People who know each other well have an easier time at developing a psychic bond, which can be useful when you need to share energies for healing or other magical workings. It is my intention to keep these podcasts short. I can't give you everything all at once. I certainly have enough material to last for years if I do the podcasts weekly. I'll try to front-load the stuff you need to know to get started right away. That means I'll try to put all the most essential material in the earliest podcasts. I did my best to make the liturgy rhyming when possible so that it is easy to memorize, and evocative enough so that most participants will be able to enter that liminal state where you can reach into your deep self and where magic can occur. We have one additional task to complete today. Those jewelry items that need to be consecrated, just keeping them on the main altar, usually on or near the pentacle, during a circle in which there is a drawing down and a cone of power, is plenty cleansing and blessing enough. But we haven't done that today, so we should at least pass them through each of the four elements. The elemental order doesn't matter. Each tool or piece of jewelry should be picked up by one of the ritual leaders or even the object's owner, provided the owner is an initiate, and passed through incense smoke, candle flame, and aspersed or sprinkled with salt water. Then the jewelry can be either handed back to the owner or placed on the altar again until the end of the ritual. We've made some progress. We'll need a way to establish a dialogue so you can tell me what content you want me to provide. You can find me at covening.org. More coming soon. But now, let's end the podcast ritual. We release the quarters. Remember, whoever called the quarter in the beginning should be the same person who releases it at the end. In the windblown tradition, we release the quarters and disperse the circle in the Widerschens or counterclockwise direction, starting in the north. The coven faces the direction of each call. Now we are all facing north. We may have our hands crossed on our chest in Egyptian dying god position, or we may have our thamis out with an outstretched arm pointing toward the north. At the northern perimeter of the circle, the covener, facing north, uses their thami to draw the banishing earth pentagram in the air. The banishing earth pentagram is drawn starting at the bottom left point and raising to the top of the pentagram. By the northern midnight chill, by the winter's snow-hushed hoof, by the lord and lady's charge, from this circle, earth, be off. The assistant snuffs the northern green quarter candle. Staying in our place in circle, we all turn to face west. At the western perimeter, the covener, facing west, uses their thami to draw the banishing water pentagram. The banishing water pentagram is drawn starting with the thami pointing toward the north and bringing it across in a horizontal line until it is pointing south. By the autumn's dying leaves, by the crescent rising west, by the lord and lady's charge, water ebb to our behest. The assistant snuffs the western blue quarter candle. Staying in our place in circle, we all turn to face the south. At the southern perimeter, the covener, facing south, uses their thami to draw the banishing fire pentagram. The banishing fire pentagram is drawn, starting at the bottom right point and bringing the thami to the top of the pentagram. By the southern noonday bright, by the summer's sweltering heat, by the lord and lady's charge, fire, flee on burning feet. The assistant snuffs the southern red quarter candle. Staying in our place in the circle, we all turn to face east. At the eastern perimeter, the covener, facing east, uses their thami to draw the banishing air pentagram. The banishing air pentagram is drawn starting with the thami pointing toward the north and bringing it across in a horizontal line until it points south. by the eastern dawning light, by the hatching, sprouting spring, by the Lord and Lady's charge, air, go forth on flying wing. The assistant snuffs the eastern yellow quarter candle. We all turn to face the northern perimeter, and we resalute the north with orithames. The high priestess moves to the northern perimeter of the circle, and, holding the blade out, she treads the perimeter counterclockwise. She is followed by the same group of people who followed her during the circle casting, each holding their assigned element. By the blade that cleaves the darkness and the light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I carve a tunnel to the mortal realm. As common persons, we are masked until the circle be recast. Now we all huddle close around the center altar, perhaps with hands touching above the altar or in a group hug, and chant together. Sacred ground, remain unseen. Silence rules the worlds between. Till next we answer magic's call and meet together, which is all. We begin to disperse. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. This rite has ended. Please subscribe. Upcoming episodes will include information about the use of gender and polarity and balance within the circle, how to invoke the goddesses and gods, the divine, the charge of the goddess, the gods, the divine, how to raise energy and ground it, how to make a cone of power, and of course we shall be celebrating the Sabbats, the quarters, the cross quarters, and the esbats, the moons. A couple of quick shout-outs. The Pacific Northwest Witches Market, that's PNWWITCHESMARKET.com. And the Witches and Brews Book Club, which is a meetup group for women and non-binary folks. Till next we answer magic's call and meet together, witches all. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.